talk to you. My subject today is it's time to shake off the serpent. I need somebody to read for me back here. Get a mic, if you don't mind. I don't want anybody relaxing. I don't relax on you. Hallelujah. You can relax later.
We're with
you. I know. You just seem like you're far away.
Let's move on.
Now, there's quite a few scriptures contained in this great book that make reference to the devil as a serpent. In the book of Revelation, he's called the old serpent, that devil, which did deceive the people. And I would like to use this little story for my Bible teaching today that I think we have reached the crossroads in Pentecost. I've heard Brother Huntley so masterfully and magnificently minister every night. And I can tell he's from North Carolina because he preaches about North Carolina and loves this district, and rightly so. And he wants nothing but the best for this district. But I've got news for you. There's even one greater than Wayne Huntley that wants the best for this district, and that's Jesus Christ. He wants this district to blossom. And I want you to understand something. I am for truth. And if I am for truth, I am automatically against error. If I am for holiness, I'm automatically against unholiness. If I'm for righteousness, I'm against unrighteousness. If I'm for separation, I'm automatically against worldliness. But there is a spirit of the serpent that would like to attach itself to us on our way to the beautiful will of God. You can just be quiet because I preach with or without you. I want you to read for me, who's ever reading. Verse 1. I preach the word, Doc. That's my job. I preach. Amen. It's more fun with everybody, but I can do it without everybody. Amen. I'm preaching enough Pentecostal libraries, I can carry the mail, Doc. Hallelujah. I'm preaching a few cemeteries. It took an act of God to resurrect that puke. That's the truth. Now listen to me, kiddies. Just because you have the Holy Ghost, and just because you're baptized in Jesus' name, and just because you are searching and questing for the mind and purpose and will of God in your life, does not and will never immunize us from attack. If nothing else, it will make us susceptible to attack. Now just stay with me. Now read for me, Rev.
And when they were escaped, yeah, then they knew that the island was called Melita.
You must understand the previous chapter. Apostle Paul has been divinely commissioned and sent by God to appear before the Roman tribunal. God has said he must also appear in Rome. So he is on the perfect course of God's will for his life. And while he's trying to fulfill the will of God, all hell broke loose. Some people search for the will of God and the will of God, and when they find it, they wonder where heaven went. He's on his way to fulfilling the will of God when he's almost killed by a storm called Euroclydon. And his boat is shipwrecked. He almost swallows half the ocean, and on broken pieces of the boat, he floats to shore. And I can see Paul getting up out of the water saying, man, it's great knowing the will of God. As he unwraps the third ring of seaweed from around his neck and says, just Jim Dandy walking with Jesus. Now stay with me. I know where I'm going. Read.
And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness.
There is the greatest danger in becoming intoxicated by the fire that a barbarian can make. We are in a midst of Babylonian spirits, and they are barbaric to truth.
But a barbarian, even without God, has the ability to show kindness. Don't be fooled by a barbarian's gentle endeavor to warm you.
All right. Stay with me, Reed.
For they kindle, they fire.
Barbarians know how to make fire.
Yeah.
I said barbarians know how to make fire.
Right.
Oh, yes. I put up with that garbage all the time. Come on over here. We've got a fire. Come on over to our church. My, the Holy Spirit's moving over to our church. Honey, a barbarian fire and an apostolic fire are not the same fire. Stay with me. Read.
And received us, everyone.
Oh, they showed us kindness. I get a kick out of chewing somebody out because they're acting like a dingbat. And then the barbarian says, "Why, you need to come on over here and go to church." Well, my God, that Arnold's a legalistic wacko, man. He don't let anybody do nothing. Come on over here where the love factor is. I'll make you the choir director. I'll make you the usher. My God, you can come to our church and you can just do anything you want. Honey, you named it right. It was their church. I don't own a church. I don't have a church. There ain't but one church in this world, and that's Jesus Christ. And in His church, everybody plays by His rules. I'm going to make a statement now before I get real mad. If you've ever tasted of the real Holy Ghost and you walk away from this to go to some charismatic crud or free-moving spirit, you will die of spiritual frostbite. That is a step backwards. You hear me now? Read on, doctor.
Because of the present rain.
Right.
And because of the cold.
Okay, I'm getting to my sermon. It's only 9 minutes long, but I got to build it. Read.
And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks.
That's the problem. That's your problem, Brother Huntley. I'm going to just psychology you a little bit. You got this concept in your brain. You want everything hot. I wouldn't be surprised if that cat don't talk in tongues when he blesses his food. And we need that. Paul got snake bit when he started to make the fire hotter.
Right.
Hey, honey. It's going to smoke today. I don't just mean now. I mean by tonight. This thing going to be sizzling, friend, like the Weston Sizzler. Because we're adding worship. And we're adding praise. And we're adding adoration and love. And the fire is getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. Now, just stay with me a second here. And Paul, you have to appreciate this. Now, this is just a very calm Thursday afternoon Bible study. Don't get yourself excited. We're talking about Apostle Paul. He's got the shivers, you understand? He's got the shakes. He's come out of the water. It's cold. It's raining. He's been in the ocean for a while. He got the shakes. And the barbarians come over and they build a fire. Son, there ain't never been a true apostolic could ever warm his carcass by a heathen flame. And he's standing in front of the fire, and the barbarians are sweating. Oh, God, this fire is hot. Oh, God, this fire is hot. And Paul's going, man, it's cold. I got to get the heat up here. I got to get the heat turned up around here. And he starts gathering sticks. He starts gathering pieces of wood. And I feel a danger serpent spirit trying to get on our preachers and on our saints. But our preachers are starting to gather sticks. They're getting involved with selling trailers and double-knit suits and selling Amway soap and doing all kinds of junk. You'll never build a fire by getting involved in that kind of stuff. You need to have the sticks of prayer and the sticks of fasting and the sticks of denial and the sticks of worship and a sold-out spirit. That's the only thing that'll build an apostolic fire. Well, I'm just going to get nasty. Ain't got but one day left. I am against our people hiring a bunch of Hollywood flunkies to come in and sing for us and play for us and do that. They don't have no fire. They don't have no fire. That's make-believe. Give me somebody that'll pray. Give me somebody that'll fast. And I'll put them up and let them sing. And let them worship. And they'll bring the power.
All right.
Sit down a second. I'm just going to handle it all, Doc. You're sitting here. You can listen to me. I'm a little sick and tired. We get these Pentecostal prima donnas strutting across our platforms at conference. The suckers haven't been in prayer for 3 weeks. They haven't been in a service for 4 nights. And here they come just a-walking in, strutting, going to sell their records, and they're going to sing their song. Whatever happened to Sister Sue, who sings on Bible study night for us? Why don't we get Sister Sue up, who's there every week, every week, every week, every week? I know she can't sing as good as them, but we don't need singers. We need worshipers. We need worshipers. We need worshipers who love God. Yes! Sit down a second. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't write me off and say, Brother Arnold's against folks selling tapes and gospel things. I am not. But I don't want no flunky who can't keep their own morals straight. I'm going to just tell you something. You folks that love music, there is a serpent spirit moving among our young people. We got too many faggots. We got too many queers. We got too many sissies. We got too many effeminate people who wiggle in their wrists. Man, we got to get rid of that serpent spirit. We need to shake it off. Shake it off. Get rid of that. It's time to shake off the serpent. Sit down, sit down. Let's get back to our calm Bible study here. Now, I'm real kind, and I know I'm rough, and your pastors will apologize because I do use crude language because I'm just a crude dude. That's what I is. But that's all I is, and it wouldn't look right for you to say slobs and cats and creeps. It wouldn't fit you. But it fits me because I'm from the streets. I'm animal man from the promised land. I'm him. And you just have to, don't worry about me. But I hate it. Everybody say with me, the preacher. Come on. The preacher hates. I mean hates. That 55 junk. I mean, I hate it. We don't need that stuff. Sit down. I'm not trying to get you to respond. That's your business. But you gals, you look at me. You are awfully ignorant when you play a boy. You don't need to be a boy. Now, as mad as I hate them faggots and queers and twinkies, them little limp wrist boys raking and shaking their fanny, I can't hardly stand to watch a girl be a man. If you're going to be a girl, be a lady. If you're going to be a young man, be a man. Don't swap roles. Sit down, sit down, sit down. We got about a few minutes to go here. Something tells me you can't believe like me.
Yeah, we believe.
I can't hardly stand it, Brother Foster. Son, I woke up to somebody at a camp just the other day. I preached the camp, and this limp-wristed little sissified dude, he just, oh, pray for God, Brother Arno. And he squeezed my hand, you know, shaking his hand like shaking hands with spaghetti. You know, just kind of, oh, praise the Lord, I really enjoyed your sermon. He went to walk away from me, and I just squeezed his hand. I said, come here, sissy. I said, you got a serpent spirit. I said, what's this stuff you say? What is that? I said, I watched when you walked. Now, I'm just going to be playing. I watched when you walked around here. I said, I like that stuff. That is an abomination to God. God hates homosexuality. He hates it. It's a perversion. It is the vilest sin on this earth. Sit down a second. My God, I hate it. Oh, son. And it's just as bad for ladies who don't know their place to be mannish. Listen, when the Bible said you were the weaker vessel, it did not infer that you were inferior. It meant that you had a role to fulfill that the male could not fulfill. You were given certain attributes and character traits that only could be fulfilled through femininity. You are not supposed to be... Listen, it is a scourge on our generation to have all these working mothers. Now, you'd say anything you want about it, but it is not the will of God for all these working mothers to put their kids in front of a boob tube or put them into child care, and they go out in a man's world and make a living. It's not supposed to be like that. All right. Now, I'm going to get to my sermon. It's only 9 minutes long. The preparation's 30. Now, you just watch this. This is going to be good in a second here. Read this. Watch this. And Paul, let's go back to about three. And Paul gathered. Watch this.
And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks.
Okay, now watch this. Now this is Bible study. This ain't preaching. This is just Bible study. Now, just watch. Go ahead.
And laid them on the fire.
Laid them on the what?
The fire.
On the fire. Everybody said the fire.
The fire.
Now, watch this. Read.
There came a viper.
Wait.
Out.
There came a serpent. That's what a viper is. It's a snake. There came a viper or a serpent. Never heard this preached in my life, Doc. Never stole from a tape ministry. Didn't read it in the book. God just let me see it. Watch this. Read.
Out of the fire and fastened on his hand.
That ain't what it said. Read it again.
Out of the heat.
Thank
and
you.
Fastened on his hand.
When we Pentecostals in a camp meeting as glorious as this turn up the fire, I can promise you the serpents will come near the heat. Now wait a minute. Let me give you a little biological lesson here. A serpent is a cold-blooded mammal. They are one of the few animals on God's green earth that has no inward ability to heat their own body. If a snake wants to get warm, the slob's got to crawl out from underneath a rock and lay on a rock and let somebody else's heat warm him. Wait a minute. There is a serpent spirit that's trying to move among the Pentecostals. And they'll come when you're having revival. And you're having a move of God. You ever notice how all of a sudden all these cats come to your church? You know what they are? Serpents. They like the heat. Oh, we like your singing. Woo! Oh, we love the presence of God. But wait till you turn up the fire. No devil can live in the fire. He'll only hang around the fire to warm himself, but he won't dare get in the fire. And you're so silly if you won't get in the fire. That means you'll just hang around the heat and you'll be a strange bedfellow with a serpent. I know what I'm talking about, Doc. I pastor a pretty decent church. I've got some serpent folks. They can't help but they're brain dead. They don't know no better. They don't ever go to the prayer room. They don't ever fast. They hypnotize man like an Irish sweepstake. Every other year they give it a try. They ain't got it together, son. They ain't got it together. But boy, when the people come out of the prayer room and the choir gets to juking, those serpents will jump up among that heat and go, woo! Oh, what a great service. They just come because the fire's getting warm. They never help make the fire hotter. Now, stay with me. I'm going as fast as I can. Now read this. It said this serpent came out of the heat and did what?
And fastened on his hand.
Attached himself to this man on the way to the will of God. And there's a serpent for everybody here. And he's waiting to just bite you. And he don't want to just bite you, honey. He wants to hang on. Just read a little further. I'm almost there.
And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand...
Don't you dare tell me that your actions don't affect the heathen world. What you let in your life greatly affects the concepts and thoughts and theories of a barbaric world. They are looking out of dimly lit hearts, trying to see if there's anybody genuine. And when you play the same games that the world plays, it starts looking in another direction. The world that you're living in is looking to see whether you will indulge in the same things they do. Now just hold on in this Bible study. Just hold on. Read.
They said among themselves...
This is funny now. This is funny.
No doubt this man is a murderer.
Now wait a minute, Rev. They ain't never seen this cat. How in the name of God could he be a murderer? You don't know his social security. You don't know his zip code. You don't even know the cat's name. How in the name of God could you have a trial and find the guy guilty of murder all he did is wash up out of the river? You know how they make their judgment? By what's hanging on him. Wait a minute, you missed that. Let me run that by you again. I said the barbarians make their judgments by what's hanging on the apostolic. When they say a dirty joke and you snicker, they go. When they cheat with the IRS and you just fudge a little, they go. When we won't go to the movies, but we'll bring the movies to us, the world says, when we turn around and call all those cats that paint themselves up like old Jezebel mannequins, and then they see our young kids at school go, when we have a double standard, the barbarian goes. Now I'm not mean. I'm just telling you the truth. It bugs me. What we are in our pastor's presence, we need to be in his absence. What we are at church, we need to be at school. What we are at church, we need to be at work. We shouldn't be a bunch of hypocrites. All right, let me just finish my little study here. God, I'm going to go nuts. Read, Rev.
Whom though he hath escaped the sea.
Yeah, they think that he should have drowned the sea, but somehow he's a good swimmer.
Yet vengeance suffereth not to live.
But vengeance got him now, boy. This is neat. Here we go.
And he shook off the beast into the fire.
He shook off the serpent. That old spirit that says, I'm going to poison your ideas. I'm going to poison your purity. I'm going to invalidate your concepts. I'm going to make it so that you can do nothing right. It wants to hang on. But that old preacher just said, get away from me, you creep. Chuck. And he just shook it off. You hear me? There are spirits moving among us that some of us are not even aware of. The devil is subtle, just like a serpent, a sly, slithering, silent enemy moving among us and shows himself to be a sheep, but he's really a wolf. He is a deceiver, and he is trying to get in the ranks of the Pentecostals and just gently attach himself to us. And before we know it, we'll wake up one day and we'll be a long way away from the purpose and will of God. We need to shake off those things which are taking us away from being pure apostolics. I better deal with enough young people in my church. I know about God's church that I'm pastoring. Now you just hear what I'm saying, Reverend. It said that he. Oh my God, we got a costume change here. All right, go ahead, buddy. Now watch this. I want verse 5 again.
And he shook off the beast into the fire.
Stop. Where did he shake the beast off into, Reverend? Into the
fire.
Everybody said, fire.
Fire.
He came out of the what? Didn't I just tell you about 9 minutes ago, there ain't but one place a serpent can't live? Guess where Paul put him?
Fire.
You need to shake off that thing that's stealing your victory. Don't gently fold it. Don't lay it down. Don't put it aside. Put it in the fire. Put it in the one place that it can't survive. Turn up your consecration. Turn up your dedication. Turn up your adoration. And throw that thing in the fire. Sit down a second. We've had new converts come in. And there's ladies who are wearing breeches. And are wearing those ear bobs and earrings and all kinds of stuff. And that's what they should do. They're from Babylon. They're supposed to do all that stuff. But when they come into Zion, there's a big change. And I've talked to him and dealt with him, taught him in holiness and righteousness and separation and weights and sins. And you know what? I've had some of my God, man, some of the folks that you think their brain didn't work. They just walk up and say, Pastor, what can I do? What should I do with these things? I said, come on, we'll come right up here to the altar and we'll build a fire. Now you just throw them in the fire. And that way you'll never be tempted when you're weak to go back and pick up what you once laid down. But if you just lay it down, when you have your weak moments, and everybody's got their weak moments, and their times of discouragement, I've seen people that have gone for just a little while, and then all of a sudden they're back in their breeches, and they're back in their shorts, and they're back in their makeup. You know why? They never put it in the fire. They put it in the dresser drawer. I preached a revival. This guy walked up. My God, I was a smoking it every night. I was ringing the bell, cracking it, patching it, cracking it, patching it. It was just hitting it. This guy walked up and said, Brother Arnold, I want you to pray for me. 3 weeks he's preaching, praying to everybody through the Holy Ghost. My God, this guy walked up and said, Brother Arnold, this has been the greatest revival ever in my life. He said, I want you to lay hands on me and pray for me. I'm down to 2 packs a day. I'm thinking, 2 packs of what? Gum? And he said, no, and he taps his chest. Chesterfields, man.
I said, you got the Holy Ghost? Oh, yeah. You baptized in Jesus' name? And you're sucking on tobacco sticks? You're down to 2 packs a day? How much Holy Ghost you need, doctor, know that God hates that junk?
All you got to do is get into one good Holy Ghost prayer meeting and sell out to God, and you'll never smoke another cigarette as long as you live. I smoke 3 packs of Salems a day. I smoke 50 cigars every 2 weeks. I drank 3 quarts of rum every weekend. And without the Holy Ghost, a preacher preached to me and told me God hated it. I laid it down about 18 years ago. I've never picked it up again. You've got to understand, there's some things you've got to just shake off and put it in a fire. Sit down a second. I'll just tell you little kiddies about Uncle Jeffrey. Didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I started seeking for it. Pastor preached. I walked out of church that morning. I lit up a cigarette butt. Sitting in the car with Sister Art. I said, you know, honey, I noticed something strange about these folks besides their funny looking faces. I noticed that nobody ever lights up a cigarette butt around here. All the other churches I was going to, we always lit up on the church steps. Yeah. And my wife said to me, you got to appreciate this. I wish I had a cigarette, but I wish I had something. Yeah. And you got to appreciate this. No Holy Ghost. Going smoke rings. You know, Barry, I noticed none of these cats are lighting up around here. And she just gently says to me, oh, these folks preach against it. I said, they preach against it. What they preach against smoking for? She said, well, they think it's a dirty habit. It's no good for you. You get emphysema and cancer and all that. And now you have to understand this, how merciful God was to me. I looked at what my wife said and thought what they said, and I looked at that cigarette and I said, dear God, you know, they're right. And I took a carton and a half of Salem cigarettes back to the public supermarket and got my money back. No Holy Ghost. No Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost isn't what gives you your convictions. It's your relationship to God that'll give you your convictions. You don't need a manual to get convictions. You need to just walk with God, and you'll know what's right or wrong. Sit down a second. I'm taking an extension. Just hold on just a second. I walked in the house. We had whiskey. We had beer. The only thing I didn't drink was wine, but we had Jack Daniels. We had Chivas Regal. We had Schlitz. We had Coors. Man, I enjoyed the Joy Juice stock. I enjoyed the Happy Bubbles. I lived that way. I come home one day and my poor wife, you Pentecostals ruining her. I got $100 worth of bourbon in my house. And I hear this glubber, 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 glubber. I'm going, what in the name of God you doing, woman? I said, well, we don't believe in drinking. No drinking? Strange religion I'm getting into here. You know what I did? I had a cold 6-pack of Busch Bavarian. Delicious. Cold. Took it out of the refrigerator. And it's just like, goodbye, old friend. Took it back to the 7-Eleven. Now watch me. No Holy Ghost, no great leadership, no great pastor, no Holy Ghost. Been to your church about 4 times. Walked in and laid my 6-pack of beer up on the guy's counter. And you know how they are. They got a cigar, need a shave, stinky breath, jerks. Just looking at you. Yeah, what you want, pal? Something wrong with the beer? Nope. What you want? Why are you bringing it back? I don't drink no more. How come? I started going to church. Well, I go to church and I drink. You're in the wrong church. Woo! There ain't but one church. There ain't but one church. This is it, baby. This is a church. Jesus ain't got but one body. Shake off that serpent. Get rid of it. Sit down a second here. Let me get to my sermon here. You got to appreciate this. Now, I'm holding this thing for 15 years. Because I get so sick of people who are in good churches with good preachers and good choirs and constant moves of the Holy Ghost. And you've got to sit down and explain and explain and explain and explain. Well, Brother Arnold, I'm not convicted. Honey, God could give a good hill of beans about whether you're convicted. He's persuaded. That's all that matters. He's persuaded. And you need to get persuaded. Well, I don't feel this is wrong. Well, I'm a praying that God will show me. Listen, you brain dead idiot. If I told you, God just showed you. God chose preaching. God chose preaching. And when you've got a God called preacher preaching this Bible and he tells you what he feels from God is right or wrong, God will stand behind his authority. God will stand with his man. And God will require an answer of everybody that refuses to obey. Sit there. Just a minute, please. Just a minute. Just sit down. Just one another minute here. I'm telling you something, son. You can't let some things hang on. You just can't. If I had time, I'd preach to you a little bit about old Samson. Kissing on that old heathen girl, Delilah. I get so tired of my people. Mine, they ain't God's, they're mine. Fussing with me. Fussing with me. Like I was the warden. Like I'm the cop where the buck stops. I'm the bad guy all the time. I'm the guy that breaks their balloon. Hey, honey, I don't think you'll be dating that sinner boy. Oh, I'm going to win into God. You're full of beans. You ain't winning nobody to God, Doc. You're going to prostitute the high call of God and give away everything God's ever done for you. You don't need to date sinner boys. You don't need to date sinner girls. If they love what you love, if they love what you stand for, they will come this way. You don't need to go that way. Well, just give me a minute here. Just give me a minute. Now, the Bible says, he shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. I'm going to tell you why. I told you a serpent's cold, ain't he? He's cold. He can only warm up when he gets near the heat. Now, stay with me. I'm going wacko right now. Apostle Paul is an on fire apostle. No, I didn't know you missed it. I didn't say the dude is warm, charismatic. I said this cat is on fire. And when that snake bit that fire, he got blisters in his mouth. And he let that dude go. Too hot for me. The reason why the devil can hang on some of our people, they're as cold as he is. But you get in the prayer room, and you get to fasting regular, and you get to walking with God, and there ain't no serpent going to be able to hold on to you and do you any harm. You can whip him every time. Give me about 9 more minutes here. Just hold on. You're very kind. You make it hard to teach a docile Bible study. Hear me now. Read for me, Rev.
Man, this is neat. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down.
Now, what did I tell you, Rev, when I started my message? When the snake attached to Paul, the heathen watched. Mm-hmm. When the snake was shaken off, the heathen watched.
Yeah.
So, we can affect the heathen world by what we let hang on or what we shake off. Because both times, they're watching. Read. They watched a long time.
Or fallen down dead suddenly.
Yeah, they're waiting for the cap to just go over. Boom.
But after they had looked a great while.
There's a watching a long time.
And saw no harm come to him.
And nothing happened to him.
They changed their minds.
Yes!
And they said that he was a god.
Right! He went from a murderer to a god in 12 minutes. Now, what has that got to do with me? I'm glad you asked. The next three verses said they had an island-wide revival. Because when all of a sudden he had power over the serpent, the heathen came to him and said, hey, Publius' father-in-law is sick. You want to come in and pray for him? Man, if the devil can't hurt you, heaven must be with you. And Paul came in and laid his hands on him, and he healed him. And then they got gifts from all the barbarians and helped them fulfill the will of God and sent him on to Rome. A revival of unprecedented scope and measure is awaiting the Pentecostal church that will recognize any subtle serpents that are sneaking up our blind side and trying to attach themselves to us. If we will, by faith and courage in God, shake them off into the fire of commitment and just absolute love for God, God will give us a revival like we have never, ever seen. They kill quick. There's some serpents that kill fast. If you don't believe me, ask Ananias and Sapphira. One little business deal with that serpent, and before the sun set, they buried them both. But there's other snakes, other vipers, that are not as powerful to kill immediately. They'll just kind of attach themselves, and their venom works slowly. Ask Judas. It took 3.5 years. For him to finally let the poison saturate his mind, that he was willing to prostitute the highest call ever given to men to follow Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Let me say this, and I'm not trying to be rude, Reverend. God will allow every one of us the privilege to fail. Now hear me. If Brother Godier, if you were building a church and you knew that a guy had problem with money and he was a little bit given to stealing and thievery, you wouldn't make him the church treasurer, would you? That's funny. Jesus did. Judas was a thief. And the master said, here, take care of the money, thief. Now, we would just protect him from that situation. But the Lord is saying, I suffered one universal insurrection once with Lucifer. But those that I rapture, I will never, ever suffer another insurrection. I will make sure that every weak area of their lives has been tested and purged. Now, that's a little powerful to swallow. That is a powerful principle. But if you have... I'm just going to be very frank with you kids and you adults. If you have a problem with sexual fantasy, I promise you, according to the precepts of this book, God will let a Potiphar's wife come into your life. He will take nothing to New Jerusalem that has not been tested, tried, and overcome. We can isolate all we want to, but God has a way of taking us out of our isolation wards and putting us face to face with the very thing that has the potential of destroying us or making us. Simon Peter had a very, very volatile temper. And God would constantly put him in a situation where he got to use it. You might as well stop trying to play tuckhead and hide. Because what's ever hanging on us, God is going to make a way for that to come to the forefront. God is going to test this church. You play games with your emotions, your feelings, your adulation towards things. God is going to make sure that you pass the test. You're not going to be some monk living in a monastery, never having to face all the things. You're going to have to face them.
That's right.
But if you're on fire, you can shake it off. And it won't destroy you. It won't hurt you. It won't separate you from God. There is nothing designed by God to trip you up. Everything from God is designed to reveal us to us. I really am my worst enemy. There is no devil, demon, fallen angel, fallen spirit that has the power to separate me from walking with God. Not a one. If I want to go to heaven, I will go. If I want to be pure, I will be pure. If I want to be holy, I will be holy. My destiny does not lie with some diffused, demented demon. It lies in the mind of Jeffrey Wayne Arnold. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Big word means changed. By the renewing of your mind. Okay, give me just 2 more minutes here. I'll be finished right now. I want to show you something. This is neat. We're going to shout on this one. Everybody says we're going to shout. The cat's going to tell you we're going to shout. Tell you how I got a good sermon. I was fishing in the Everglades. You like to fish? I was fishing in the Everglades. Now all you North Carolina Tar Heels are going to have to appreciate this Brooklyn bum. I don't like the woods. I don't like wildlife. I don't like snakes. I don't like roaches. I don't like crickets. I'm subways, buses, people screaming, "Help!" That's just like being at home. Just like downtown New York. Now, you have to appreciate when Jeffrey Arnold goes fishing in Everglades. I'm not like you cats. You Florida cats and North Carolina cats. You just kind of walk out there. When I walk into the Everglades, it's like this. Hey. Because I know there's mosquitoes out there, and there's alligators, and there's Indians, and there's... there's all kinds of huge turtles that can swallow people. There's tiny needles that can carry you off. I mean, that's wildlife out there. And I'm used to walking on concrete. I don't like dirt and sawgrass and bushes and palmetto bushes. And man, I want to make sure that my foot knows exactly where it's a stepping. I was in Everglades one time, Brother Godare, walking along. Now, you got to appreciate this. I'm walking along, and there's about 18-foot space, and here's the Everglades over here, and here's the road way up there. And as I walked over here, I'm watching where I walked. I'm real careful. I walk. All of a sudden, alongside me, God, my hair stood up, son. My shirt was just like, boom, a bunch. And I stopped. Oh, Jesus. And I'm afraid to look, because I figure it's just a, yah. And so I'm just kind of watching, and I just go. And when I did that, that thing goes. I took off a running, and I yelled. Wah! And when I did, that thing ran with me. And it run right in front of me, and it was nothing but about a 2.5-foot otter. He was as scared as I was. And I finished walking, and I got down by the bank. Now, you got to appreciate me. I need me a stone here. Just give me another minute here. I'm finished. And when I fish by the bank, I don't want no crocodilies coming up. I don't want nothing, Doc. I got up on this rock. And I'm just using that old rubber worm while catching that bass. Come on, open your mouth. Be the last time you ever do. Come on. And I'm pulling that little rubber worm, and all of a sudden, I felt that beautiful paradise feeling that a fisherman feels. Boom, boom, boom. I went, oh, yes. And out went the line, and I just opened that bale, and it looked like it was going to Chicago, man. It just kept going and going. I finally flipped the bale over. Now, watch this. And I stopped him. When he just went down, I went, oh. And I was with this old gentleman from our church, and I said, hey, Brother Darty, bring the net. I got a full-grown one. Bring the net. This cat, get on down here. And he just come running down, and I'm holding. And it turned out to be about a 10-pound mudfish. Piece of junk. Nothing. But when I got him up to the shore, now here's where my sermon is, and I'm quitting right now. Little did I know that while I was standing on the rock, behind me on the ground was about a 5-foot moccasin. And he's in a little hole behind the rock, and he's going. And I don't know it. And I'm getting ready. Bring this fish up. And this old guy ran over here. We got him just about like this. And it had to be the Holy Ghost. And as I step off the rock, I'm on my way on top of this moccasin. And as I step down, it just seemed like God quickened my mind. Look. Now I told you, I'm 41, but I move like I'm 20. Now, when I come down off that rock, now watch me. I come down. And that dude just reared up at me. Now you gotta appreciate this. I am so scared. I'm from New York. I'm not Daniel Boone's mother. I'm from New York. I look at this snake. I look at this snake, Rev, and I am so scared. I go over and pick up a boulder that King Kong couldn't pick up. I mean, I was scared, Doc. The adrenaline's pumping. And I go down there, brother, go down there. Now, you got to appreciate this. I'm walking over with this boulder, and here's this snake. And I just come a-running at him, as scared as I was, and I went, whoa! And I missed him. I missed him. He dropped right in front of him. And from that humorous miss, a sermon came. Because that dumb serpent, when I threw that big rock down right in front of him, he reared back and he struck that rock about 3 or 4 times. Boom, boom, boom. And the Lord spoke and said, Jeffrey, if you'll get the rock between you and the serpent, it won't hurt you. Get the rock between you and the devil. He can't hurt you. Bible study's over.